Hi everyone, welcome back to English Digest. I'm Pat.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And we're on the final day of our Unit 3 article, The Glass Castle, A Tale of Resilience and Triumph. In the first 2 days of this literature article, we've told the story of The Glass Castle, a memoir, a book written by an American journalist about her, frankly, bizarre, unconventional childhood, moving around, growing up poor, stealing for food. Very happy, very loved, and very inspired to be creative, but extremely unstable and difficult.
Yeah. But if you get a chance to read this book, and I hope that you'll pick up a copy if you can, it's not too difficult. Mm-hmm. I read a couple of pages of it today, and I just thought, oh, it's almost like she's speaking with you informally.
A good voice.
Yeah. So, but it's just a series of memories from her childhood, which are kind of horrific to me. As I read them, I think, oh my gosh, how could parents do this or not watch their kids? They could be hurt. She was thrown out of a car at one point. There are lots of things that happened that you would just go, oh my. But she loved her folks, and she felt like her mom and dad both loved all the kids. They loved all of the kids, but that they also gave them things that perhaps other more conventional families didn't get or receive from parents, like imagination, the ability to create things in your mind that other people, kind of your imagination gets stomped out pretty young these days with school, where you're just memorizing stuff and, you know, taking the tests and doing what you're told. Her parents really wanted them to be as creative and inventive as they could be.
So let's read through the final part of this article, which is more about the real life of Jeanette. And not saying the story isn't real, but kind of telling some of the backstory behind the book itself. Mm-hmm. Let's read it through now. Published in 2005, The Glass Castle, a memoir by American journalist Jeanette Walls, documents the story of her rise from poverty in a troubled family to professional success. More than a personal story, this memoir is a proof of people's resilience and our capacity to overcome hardship. Central to the narrative is the metaphor of the glass castle, an unfulfilled dream imagined by Rex. He clings to this dream of a self-sufficient home for his family, but his lack of dedication and effort transformed the castle into a symbol of dreams as fragile as glass. The act of dumping trash into its foundation symbolizes the burial of the faith and admiration Jeanette once held for her father. The book also explores the strength of family bonds. Despite their potential for providing better care, Rex's struggle with alcoholism and Rosemary's choice not to pursue teaching affected their children's upbringing. Yet, within this materially lacking environment, they taught values of freedom and creativity to their children. This tough background further developed resilience and sibling unity. Determined to overcome her difficult childhood, Jeanette studied and worked hard, saving money to first assist her sister's move and later to relocate her younger siblings to New York. Facing challenges, the Walls siblings thrived, supporting each other as they created lives distinctly different from their past. In her memoir, Jeanette avoids definitive conclusions about her childhood. Instead, she only presents the lessons learned and the challenges encountered along the way. Her story encourages readers to face difficulties with courage and find beauty in chaos. It's a narrative that resonates with anyone who has ever struggled to find their place in the world. So the article begins with just a quick description of what this book is. It says, published in 2005, The Glass Castle, a memoir by American journalist Jeanette Walls, documents the story of her rise from poverty in a troubled family to professional success. So we mentioned this right at the start of day one. This is a memoir. A memoir is a book that someone writes about their own life. But it's not an autobiography, which is a bit more sort of non-fictional list of events and times and places.
And people can fact check it.
Yeah. A memoir is taking those memories and weaving them into a more coherent, cohesive story, which has some key narrative themes and things. So she'll leave out parts of the story that aren't important for this theme. And she'll maybe, you know, spend a bit longer on certain aspects of that theme if they, you know, if they really tie in together. Yeah. So it's turning it into a story. We're not, it's true. It's definitely a true account, but it's just presented in a way that's more like a story rather than like a Wikipedia article.
Yeah. But she writes so well that it really does stick together as a narrative. Some memoirs, you know, skip around too much or their theme is a little bit muddied, which means not clear. But the reviews I've read about this book, they're always praising her ability to have this theme that's so connected that you feel like it's a book of fiction. It's so well written. Mm. So we're going to talk about what's in this book and what, perhaps she was trying to communicate to people who pick this up to read it. I like in the first sentence, guys, that our writer put this, used the word document as a verb. Usually documents are pieces of paper, right? But if you document something, especially the story of someone, just means you're recording a history. So it could be by collecting photos. It could be writing something down. You can document things in different ways. So she documents or records the story of her rise from poverty in a troubled family to professional success. Again, she was ultimately very successful professionally. She's getting older now, but she used to be on TV as a journalist. Actually, you go from journalist to broadcaster. If you're on TV, you're, you know, a broadcaster. She would come on to some of the early morning TV shows that are kind of fluffy. Fluffy means not hard
kind of news. Light
news. Just light stuff. You know, they like to talk about celebrity things a lot. She would come on and do a little blurb. It was usually like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes and she was done. But I remember her. She has a pleasant smile. I remember her smile. So more than a personal story, this memoir is a proof, or you could say is proof, because proof can be a non-countdown too, is a proof or proof of people's resilience, your ability to bounce back from difficulties. And also it's, you know, proof of our capacity, our ability, how much we are able to overcome hardship. If you overcome something, you face something that doesn't defeat you. You know, you're able to get past it. Maybe you are very shy. My mom was very shy, but she was able to overcome her shyness through her kids, but also by going out with my dad. She was part of a missionary couple. And she came home and she was no longer shy. But when you force yourself to face difficult things for you, you get stronger. So if something's hard for you, don't run from it. Face it and see if you can become a stronger person because of it.
So we move on to the next paragraph and we see that central to the narrative is the metaphor of the glass castle. So the glass castle was kind of a real thing that their dad wanted to build, but it's also a metaphor. So it is an idea that's used to represent something else. Now, a metaphor often appears in writing as a piece of description. It's an indirect comparison, whereas a simile is a more direct one. A simile is somebody is as hungry as a lion, something like that. Whereas a metaphor would be describing, you know, somebody just calling them a lion. Of course, they're not really a lion.
Yeah, he's a lion in battle.
Right. That just means he's very brave and he won't shrink from a fight. Right. So that is a metaphor. So the glass castle is a metaphor because it's an unfulfilled dream imagined by Rex. Unfulfilled has the same meaning as the unrealized, the word we used yesterday.
Right.
Something that was never fulfilled, never completed, never achieved. So the glass castle, now if you think about it, a castle made of glass would not be very stable. You'd be able to see straight through it. It wouldn't be a really solid thing. So you can see how it is a metaphor for something that's just insubstantial. It's not really there.
Yeah, think how easy it would be to take down a glass castle.
Yeah.
You get a couple
one
rocks,
stone.
You know? Yeah, you start throwing some rocks at it and you've overcome. Usually castles are made out of stone and they're fortresses. They protect the people inside. I think it's a really interesting metaphor. Yeah, the unfulfilled dream by her father, the dreamer. Now, he clings to this dream of a self-sufficient home for his family. Remember, he had solar panels and he had a water purifier. If you have those things, you wouldn't need to be on the grid. If you're on the grid, it means you're connected to, you know, government's water, fuel supply, all this stuff. If you're off the grid, it means you're completely self-sufficient. You don't need to rely on anybody else. Maybe you have a garden in the backyard that produces enough for you guys to eat from. Well, he clings, which just means to hold on very tightly. You cling to something you don't want to lose or let go of. For example, little ones, you know, they'll cling to their parents if they're around people they don't know because they're afraid. Well, he clings to his dream for this self-sufficient home for his family, but his lack of dedication, if you're dedicated, you really are focused on what you're trying to accomplish. He didn't have any dedication really to much, and he just had a lack of effort. Mm-hmm. He wasn't willing to work hard enough for it. Or maybe it was because of his alcoholism.
Right.
Anytime he got a job and things got tough, he'd probably turn to alcohol to forget.
Mm.
And that's probably, you know, he felt bad about himself because he was unable to really take care of his family. I think that's part of the alcoholism.
Yeah, but this this lack of dedication, this lack of being able to really make it happen, transform the castle into a symbol of dreams as fragile as glass. Now, you can say fragile, you can say fragile, both ways of pronouncing it.
I say fragile.
Yeah, fragile is a little more British pronunciation. But if something is fragile, it is easily broken. Mm-hmm. It will smash very easily. You think of the kind of vases that you would put on a table and they get knocked over and they break. You could talk about, you know, younger people have very fragile hearts. They break easily, whereas older people kind of get a bit tougher, a little bit more... A little bit more resilient and able to deal with stuff. But glass, of course, is fragile. Glass breaks quite easily. So, yeah. And they're saying that these dreams are as easily broken as glass. That's a simile, as fragile as glass.
Yeah, that's
really
good.
That's a simile
too,
rather than a metaphor.
This is wonderful, whoever wrote it. Now, it says the act of dumping trash into its foundation. Remember, Jeanette and her brother Brian had dug the foundation earlier for their glass castle. And then their father said, hey, just get rid of the trash and put it in the hole that you guys dug. So the act or the movement, the action of dumping the trash into that foundation that they had dug for their beautiful castle symbolizes or represents, that's what that means there, the burial of the faith and admiration Jeanette once held for her father. Oh, this could be called the last straw.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you have a lot of bad things happen, but that last straw is just one thing too many and that's it. You give up on a person or maybe you have a friendship and the person has done a number of things that have hurt you, but that last time it was just too much to forgive them and you move on. Well, this symbolized the burial of her faith. If you bury somebody, guys, you're taking someone who has passed away and putting them into the ground. So this was her, this is a nice description of just, you know, saying that that hope and faith she had in her dad is now dead.
Mm.
And she had also lost admiration that she'd once held for her father.
Yeah, burial, of course, is the noun form of bury. Admiration is the noun form of admire. If you admire someone, you look up to them. You think they're great. You believe what they're saying. You think they're full of good qualities. So if you have admiration, if you hold admiration for someone, you have a great deal of respect for them. You think they are good people with great qualities who can do anything. So she's saying she looks up to him. She looked up to her father, but when he said just dump trash in the hole that they dug, it buried this faith, this belief, this admiration she had for her father and his dreams. And that was the end, basically, the end of following him and his dreams. And time to start thinking about what she's going to do with her life.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on to that in the second half of our article in just a moment. Right now, we'll hand over to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. 我是派老师。今天讲解的是5月8号 Unit 3 The Glass Castle 的第三天课程。这一课是文学单元。第三天的内容要带读者进一步剖析作者如何运用文学手法呈现自我的人生。爸爸想要盖一座城堡。这座城堡是玻璃做的，相当环保。 伯里就好比爸爸实现梦想的态度，梦幻而脆弱，乃至于后来为了盖城堡所挖的地基，居然用来埋垃圾。这也比喻小孩子对父亲梦想已经不再抱有任何的信念，把这一切都扫进垃圾堆了。好，我们现在一起来看看学习重点吧。请看到第一段第一个句子，请同学特别注意到的是，这一个句子的主要动词是 documents， 这里的 s 那当然是因为主词是第三人称单数，也就是这一本回忆录，那它记录了，所以 document 是当作动词，记录了作者他是如何的从贫穷贫困当中一步一步的爬出来，一步一步的努力向上，所以 rise from poverty， rise from poverty。那他原本的家庭背景是怎么样呢？ In a troubled family， 所以他的这个家庭过去呢其实有很多的麻烦，很多的问题，这里我们是用过去分词当作形容词。好，那从哪里到哪里， arise from poverty to professional success， 原本的环境家境相当贫困，后来在他自己的领域找到了一片天，找到了一片天，相当的成功。好，那我们看到第二个句子，第二个句子在所有格 peoples 这个所有格的后面有一个看起来还蛮难的字，不过却是我们这一课单元的主题 resilience， 在标题里面就可以看得到，就是韧性的意思。这个韧性是正面的韧性哦，表示一个人受到挫折并不会被打倒，并不是脾气不好，一切呢都希望说照他心意的那个韧性，这是 resilience。 好，再来请看到后面就看到了什么，我们人都有一些能力可以去克服困境，这边的能力是用 capacity。 好，那再来请看到第二段第一个句子，在逗点之后 an unfulfilled dream imagined by Rex， 这里的形容词是 unfulfilledunfulfilled， 也就表示这个理想这个梦想是尚未实践尚未实现的。再来请看到第二个句子，第二个句子在 but 这个对等连接词之后主要子句的部分， but his lack of dedication and effort transformed the castle into a symbol of dreams。 好，请同学特别注意到的是这个动词 transform 相当重要，我们说把 A 转换成 B， transform the castle， 把这座城堡转换成梦想的象征。好，那再来请同学看到第三个句子，把垃圾丢到原本挖出来要做房子地基的这个洞里面， the act of dumping trash into its foundation， 那它另外象征着什么。好，所以请同学特别注意到，这就是我在一开头就跟同学讲的，这就是我们回忆录的作者他也运用了文学譬喻的手法，让大家清楚小孩子已经不再那么相信爸爸所谓的理想了。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, welcome back. So we've talked about the narrative of the glass castle and the metaphor of the glass castle within that narrative. And we're now moving on to another theme of the book. The article begins its next paragraph saying, the book also explores the strength of family bonds.
Mm.
Your bonds are connections with people. It's how close you are. If you bond with somebody, you feel like you understand them more, that you can rely on them more, you've become closer in some way.We have close bonds with our family. We have close bonds with people we've known a long time,、
yeah.
friends, co-workers. I will add that there's a potential other meaning to bond, because bonds can also mean things that keep you trapped. Like if you put somebody in bonds, they can't get away. So maybe there's another meaning here of family bonds.
Oh, in is that like a...
You can't get away from your family.
You so that's like handcuffs if you're
yes,
arrested by the police.
Yes, if you're in bonds.
Ooh.
So there could be a double meaning here to the word bonds. Yes, you feel close to your family, but also in the way that your family does a little bit kind of, it's difficult to escape from them. You can't choose or change your parents.
You cannot choose your family. Although, yeah, that's another story. But yeah, you are kind of stuck with your family. I was lucky I got a great family.
Same.
But it could be something that would hold people back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So despite their potential for providing better care, they were both such bright people. I think they'd both graduated from college, from what I can pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was able to teach the kids physics. So, I mean,
not easy.
That takes some education. And her mother, of course, had graduated because she was certified or qualified for teaching. And you have to have a college degree for that. Even though they had the potential, they had that possibility, Rex had that struggle with alcoholism, and Rosemary just kind of decided she didn't want to be a nurturing mother, I think. She just kind of said, I'm more focused on my art. You know, I can't be held back by always taking care of the home with my kids, you know. She could have homeschooled her kids,
yep.
20, you know.
She could have gone teaching part-time.
Yes, there's so much you could have done. They didn't have to have a full-time job, even if they'd worked part-time.
Mm.
I'm sure sometimes they had some part-time jobs, but how long they kept them is another story. So she had this choice to not pursue teaching, and this affected her child's or children's upbringing. Your upbringing is how you grew up. I had a great upbringing. You bring up children, but when you talk about the process, we always say their upbringing was this way or that way. So it's the treatment and instruction that you got as a child from your parents. And if not your parents, maybe you grew up with your grandparents or an aunt or uncle who took care of you because your parents were gone.
So we're saying that this upbringing wasn't all bad. We see yet within this materially lacking environment, they taught values of freedom and creativity to their children. So if something is lacking, then it doesn't have a particular thing. Now we're modifying that verb with materially. We're adding the adverb. So it's materially lacking. It's lacking in materials. It's lacking in things. They didn't have a lot of stuff. They didn't have money. They wouldn't have had a permanent house. They wouldn't have had a lot of clothes, toys, whatever else. But it doesn't mean it was lacking in love or affection or joy or happiness or, you know, people looking after each other. They just didn't have stuff.
Yeah, that's not so bad. We don't need a lot of stuff to be happy. I remember when I first moved to back east to go to graduate school, I had what I thought was a very small apartment. It was a studio apartment, one room. And I realized at that point in my life, I don't need a lot of stuff.
No.
And actually, my apartment here is even smaller. So sometimes I think, wow, we spend so much time collecting stuff. But what is it that we really keep with us forever? Our memories, our relationships, our friendships. So they didn't lack love, joy. They had a really good relationship. The brothers and sisters or the siblings, you could say, with each other as well. What did their parents teach them? They taught them values of freedom and also creativity, which are really important, I think, for kids.
We also see that this tough background further developed resilience and sibling unity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just talking about the bonds that the children had with their parents. We're talking about how this being in this difficult situation brought the kids together. They have sibling unity. If our parents can't always look out for us, the older siblings will look out for the younger ones.
They do.
The kids will stand together.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make sure that the little one gets enough to eat, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's what sibling unity means, brothers and sisters who support each other.
And they started this mutual support when they were still with their parents because Jeanette studied and worked hard. She's the one who helped her oldest sister move to New York first because she had a job and she was saving money and giving that to her sister to help her relocate. So eventually they got all of their siblings to New York. So facing challenges, the Walls siblings thrived. If you thrive, you are flourishing, you develop, you're in a good environment for that. They supported each other and they created lives distinctly different from their past. Yeah, I'm sure they were. I bet they were much more focused on making sure they had a home, an apartment. They had enough money to buy food and clothes and And they actually were pretty ambitious, especially when you compare them with their parents.
Sure. Mm. So in her memoir, Jeanette avoids definitive conclusions about her childhood. Definitive means definite. You come down very strongly and say, my childhood was good, my childhood was bad.
Right.
That would be definitive. She leaves it open and she says, you guys decide, was it good, was it bad? It was hard, no doubt about that, but was it a good or a bad thing? She's not telling you, she's letting you be the judge.
Yeah.
So she's presenting the lessons learned and the challenges encountered along the way. Along the way just means during the course of something.
During the journey. Her story encourages readers to face difficulties with courage and find beauty in chaos. Not all of us can get out of difficult situations immediately. That's the truth. But it's your attitude. Anyone, based on your attitude and how you control your emotions in your mind, you can pretty much overcome anything. Chaos is that awful situation where everybody is going every direction. There's not a lot of order. I find things chaotic or a lot of chaos when we have natural disasters, for example.
Of course, yeah.
You know, when there's a lot of destruction and people are hurt, there's a lot of chaos right there. But you can find beauty in it if you look for it. And that's what she was doing. I think her book is so nice because she does just... She just lays it out there, but she doesn't... it's not angry. It's not bitter. She lets you just see what they went through and walk away with what you want to take from it.
Mm-hmm. And it obviously is popular because we see in the final sentence, it's a narrative that resonates with anyone who has ever struggled to find their place in the world. Stephanie mentioned it had been translated into 30-odd languages and that many people around the world would go, yeah, that could be me. I've been through something similar. That's what resonates means. If something resonates with you, then it means it makes the same sound in you or vibrates at the same frequency as it does in something else.
Yeah, you can relate to
it. Yeah, you can feel it, basically. It's like, me too.
Me too, absolutely. And the good thing about this is she was a success ultimately. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how you started out. You can find a way to success if you have the right attitude and you work hard, which is what they did. Right now, someone who's always working hard is our Chinese teacher. We're going to listen now and then we'll be back to say goodbye.
再来，我们接着看第三段的部分，我们知道其实虽然孩子 不太那么相信爸爸真的有一天能够实现理想，但孩子彼此之间其实连结是相当强的，而且他们还是从父母亲身上学到了一些重要的价值观，包括自由，还有呢，就是要发挥自己的创造力。我们从第三个句子就可以看得出来，他们在物质环境上面是有所缺乏。Materially lacking environment, 所以他们成长环境当中物质或许不是那么的丰沛，但是呢，还是有一些价值观是奠定的基础，他们很崇尚自由，也知道创造力的重要。那我们看第四个句子，像这样子的家庭背景， This tough background, 好， tough 就用来修饰他们的家庭背景其实是相当有挑战性的。再来请看到第六个句子，那这些兄弟姐妹其实后来呢是过得相当好。The Wall siblings thrived. Thrive 让我们想到另外一个动词叫 survive. S-U-R-V-I-V-E 这两个动词常常会一起看到。Survive 好像就只是克服了一些困境活下来了。可是 thrive 不只是活下来，而且还活得非常的好。就像植物不只是幸存下来，而且呢还开枝散叶，非常的繁茂。好， thrive 那就是指这些兄弟姐妹后来发展的相当的好。再来请看到第四段，在回忆录里面，我们的作者其实并没有做最终的结论，所以他怎么样呢？ She avoids definitive conclusions， 他并没有说我的童年就是怎么样怎么样。再来我们看到第二个句子的动词 encounter，我们说在遭遇到什么样的挑战，动词用 encounter， 这也是一个很重要的动词。那最后我们看到第四个句子， It's a narrative. Narrative 当然指的就是它整个故事咯。 这个故事 it resonates with anyone who has ever struggled to find their place in the world. 所以在读者身上是可以找到共鸣的。那这些读者通常怎么样呢？他们也希望能够在世界当中找到自己的定位。好 ,resonate with, 那就是共鸣。以上就是我们对于第三天课程所做的中文讲解。谢谢大家。
Hi everyone, so that brings us to the end of our literature unit for this month, A Glass Castle, A Memoir, or the Glass Castle,、
yeah.
A Memoir. Hope you've enjoyed learning this quite inspiring story about Jeanette Walls and her childhood, and I hope you've taken a few lessons away from it as well. But for English Digest, that's all the time we have. I'm Pat.
I'm Stephanie.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.